This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We begin by praising Allah, we praise Him, we seek His help and we ask for His forgiveness, and we take refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequence of our evil actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, no one can guide. And I testify that Allah alone is worthy of our worship, and that Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, is the messenger of Allah, his true servant. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the last discussion, we mentioned some of the evil effects of our evil deeds. Certainly, those people who came before us, those early generations of Muslims who learned their religion from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who learned their religion from the companions of the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with all of his companions, they understood this reality, that when we disobey Allah, we suffer. When we abandon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we face the consequences of that. And that is why they themselves, when they used to find that some bounty, some blessing that they used to experience had been taken away from them, some victory had been deprived from them, they did not look to, well, maybe we need some more soldiers, maybe we need some more equipment, maybe we need some more. No. They would think, what sins have we committed? What haram things have we begun to do that we did not do before? Which sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have we abandoned in order for us to be experiencing such a difficulty? And that is how we should think, my brothers and sisters. You know, when we are going through this topic of major sins, please, let us, all of us, and I start with myself, let all of us, let's think first of all about ourselves. Don't think on the topic of major sins, oh yes, I know such and such like that, and I know this and that like that. First, let's start with ourselves. Let's busy ourselves with looking in our own hearts, instead of busying ourselves looking for the faults of others and looking at the faults of others. Let us begin with self-purification, self-correction. Because in that process of self-purification and self-rectification is true piety. And it's a mistake that many people make. Many people think that piety and righteousness is through saying lots of extra prayers and doing lots of extra fasts and making lots of extra dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving lots of charity. And of course, these things are truly excellent and important, but they are nothing compared to the importance of abandoning sin, of abandoning disobedience to Allah. True righteousness, true piety, and true taqwa is primarily, first and foremost, in abandoning sin. And that's what I need to talk about in this session, is this very important concept that many people sadly have forgotten, have failed to comprehend, and have misunderstood. So I'm going to discuss a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Imam An-Nawawi, he included in his collection of 40 hadith. And it's well known that in this collection of 40 hadith are some of the most important sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, around which the understanding of our religion, this beautiful religion of Islam, this way of life, the only way of life indeed that is acceptable to Allah, is based upon these sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this narration was reported by Abu Huraira, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr, of course we know as Abu Huraira, and he reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was collected by Bukhari and Muslim. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the meaning of what the Prophet said is, what I have forbidden you from, stay away. For what I have forbidden you, stay away from it. And what I have ordered you to do, do as much as you can. Verily, certainly the people before you were destroyed only because of their excessive questioning and their disagreeing with their prophets. So this, my dear brothers and sisters, is very, very important hadith. Now, before we begin to explore it and we begin to discuss it any further, we need to start by saying that every command and every order and every prohibition has its importance. No one should understand by what I am going to talk about today that not doing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to do is insignificant. But the emphasis clearly in this saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upon abandoning the evil. And this is what the scholars understood, because they understood this from this hadith, that the way the Prophet talked sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about prohibitions was completely different from the way that he talked about the righteous actions. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said very clearly, what I have forbidden you, stay away from. So this is a very clear, emphatic statement. If I've forbidden you from something, you stay away from it. But when he talked about the things that he has ordered, he is telling us to do as much as we can. And it's very interesting that in the understanding, in the fiqh, in the understanding of Islam, in the jurisprudence, that we find that there are many situations where the things that we have been ordered to do, there is an allowance for us. There is ease for us in difficult circumstances. For example, when we are traveling, we are allowed not only to shorten, but if we are on the path, and when we are traveling, certainly we are also even allowed to combine our prayers. So there is an allowance to shorten and to combine. Similarly, when we are ill, when it is raining, there is an allowance to combine the prayers in certain situations. Also, we find that's the case with fasting. When we are traveling, we are allowed to break the fast, even in the month of Ramadan. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us there is no piety in fasting under that type of hardship. So this is something we find in our deen, that in the things that we have been ordered to do, there are many different allowances that we have been given due to hardship. Whereas when it comes to the prohibitions, when it comes to the things that we have been ordered to keep away from and to abstain from, then the situation is different. In reality, prohibitions can only be transgressed against in the case of absolute necessity. So only in the case of severe necessity are we allowed to transgress the prohibitions. So this is what we find. For example, eating of pork. Eating of pork is allowed under very, very extreme circumstances, literally life or death circumstances. And here's a good example of how in many righteous deeds, the things that we have been ordered, there is ease in time of difficulty, but in the case of prohibitions, it moves to the level of dire necessity before there is a type of allowance for us in that. And that again shows us the difference between the prohibited acts and the acts that are encouraged. So this is why the scholar said that it is more important to remain away from forbidden acts than it is to perform ordered deeds. Of course, this is not an excuse to leave the good deeds and the things that we have been ordered, but it just shows that this is the level of priority. And it's not an excuse for laxity. And we must be careful. We must be stringent when it comes to avoiding the forbidden acts. And as we find of some of those people who came before us, for example, Sahal ibn Abdullah at-Tustair, he said, "The righteous and wicked do righteous deeds." The righteous and wicked do righteous deeds. But only the truthful avoid the sins. Think about that. Both the righteous and the wicked do righteous deeds. But only the truthful ones avoid the sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "Protect yourself from, and you will be the true worshipper or the best of the worshippers amongst the people." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is what he said, and he said this to Abu Huraira, as far as I remember, "Protect yourself from the forbidden acts and you will be the one who worships Allah the most of the people." So the one who worships Allah the most, the person who is on the highest level of being the abd, the worshipper, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who keeps away from the forbidden things. So what you find, brothers and sisters, and you do find this, that a person may be very, very strict in doing acts of obedience. And even they are strict in doing recommended deeds. So for example, that you find they are very conscientious about using the miswak. And they are very conscientious about dressing in a certain type of dress. And maybe, you know, making sure they wear a hat on their head. And, you know, they grow their beard. And they wear hijab. And of course, all of these things amongst the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us with. And of course that is a very, very good thing. But you find sometimes these people, of course not all of them, but there are people like that, very conscientious in doing the things that have been ordered. Even you might find they are very strict, even about some of the recommended deeds, but they don't care about dealing in haram. They sell alcohol. They sell indecent magazines. They sell cigarettes. They may even deal in drugs. They may be dealing in riba, in interest. They may be involved in many, many unlawful activities, even though they are doing these righteous deeds. You may even find they are making hajj, but they don't care about, in the case of some women, they make hajj and they don't even care about displaying their beauty. So it is very strange that a person is very conscientious in doing these acts of worship, but they are not conscientious about keeping away from the forbidden things. And look at this beautiful saying of Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said a beautiful saying. He said, "To return 1/6 of a dirham illegally gotten is preferred to spending 100,000 dirhams in the way of Allah." Subhanallah. Let's repeat that. To return 1/6 of a dirham that is illegally gotten. So to leave alone and to keep away from haram earnings, even to the amount of 1/6 of a dirham, is better than spending 100,000 dirhams in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Abdullah ibn Umar, a companion of the Prophet, son of the second rightly guided Khulafa of the Muslims, a person who was so strict in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he understood how important it was to keep away from the forbidden things. And this is especially true in this respect concerning wealth, which is one of the issues that we will be talking about as these sessions progress, the importance of our earnings being halal. But it's generally true what he said about the prohibited deeds. And let's look at the saying of Hassan al-Basri. He said, "The worshippers of Allah do not worship in any way better than avoiding what Allah has forbidden." The worshippers of Allah do not worship Allah in any way better than avoiding what Allah has forbidden. This is showing and emphasizing the huge importance. And again, look at the understanding of these pious people from the early generations of the Muslims, how they understood the deen, how they understood this beautiful religion of Islam. They understood that the best worship, the best way of being pious, the most pious of the people were those people who kept away from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden. And let's now look at a saying of Umar ibn Abdulaziz. It's a very beautiful thing he said. He said, taqwa is not praying. Taqwa, by the way, is often translated as the fear of Allah. But taqwa does not just mean the fear of Allah. A person who has taqwa is very conscientious about protecting themselves from Allah's punishment. In fact, it's from the word taqwa comes from the Arabic word for shield. And so a person who has taqwa is shielding themselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's saying, taqwa is not praying during late at night and fasting during the day and mixing between halal and haram. But taqwa is to fulfill what Allah has obligated and to avoid what Allah has forbidden. If, in addition to that, goodness. So this is very important, my dear brothers and sisters. It is re-emphasizing the importance of this series of talks. So I am really encouraging you. I hope through these lectures that have all been on these sessions that have all just been introducing our subject. It's taken us this long just to introduce the subject. And all of it is with the intention and the purpose to make us understand the reality of sin. What is sin? What is the meaning of sin? And in this particular lecture, what is the punishment for indulging in sin? And of course, in this particular session right now, we are reminding ourselves of the importance of keeping away from forbidden actions and its relation to having taqwa and to righteousness and to piety. So what we really find from all of these sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sayings of those pious people who came before us, that the truly righteous person, the person who truly fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the person who keeps away from those forbidden deeds. So how important it is for us, how essential it is for us to know and to understand and to comprehend and to study and to research what those forbidden deeds are. And it's not only then, my brothers and sisters, about knowing in the sense of information, because that's a sad thing. Sometimes what we do is we just, you know, we almost study for the sake of studying. We almost learn for the sake of learning. But we're not really learning with the intention that this is something that we are going to implement. This is something that we are going to act upon. So it's only right that, inshallah, we should try to explore that avenue and those different techniques of keeping away from those evil things. And we emphasize again, my brothers and sisters, that what we have been saying does not mean that you should be lax in doing the good deeds. It doesn't mean that you should be lax in performing deeds of righteousness. But you should understand that the priority and the goal and the aim and the objective is, of course, to keep away from sin. Even my brothers and sisters, please think about this very deeply. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we mentioned already that in the Quran, Allah sometimes explains to us the wisdom and the benefit and the reason behind ordering us with certain deeds. So the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, ordered us to establish a salah. What is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to establish a salah? And Allah tells us in the Quran that the meaning of it is that the salah, establishing the salah, keeps you away from fahisha and munkar. It keeps you away from the evil sins. It keeps you away from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the open sins and the rebelliousness. Okay? So this is the benefit of praying. This is one of the reasons why we pray. One of the reasons why we establish a salah is to keep us away from sin. Subhanallah. So think about that. So this righteous deed itself, its purpose is to keep us away from sin. Fasting Ramadan. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He tell us is the reason for fasting Ramadan? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ That you may acquire taqwa. And what is taqwa? Taqwa means to do what Allah has ordered you to do and to keep away from those things that Allah has prohibited you from. So even the purpose, and we will be talking about that, of course, when we are discussing these issues, because amongst the major sins that we will be discussing, a major sin is to abandon as-salah, abandon Ramadan, abandon zakah, abandon hajj. So abandoning those righteous deeds is itself a huge and major sin. We'll be talking about how major it is. So brothers and sisters, it's not encouragement to be lax in doing righteousness. And verily, as the Prophet ﷺ, good deeds wipe out evil deeds. Good deeds wipe out evil deeds. So if you've done something evil, then one of the ways to repent for that and one of the ways to wipe them out is by doing good. But do focus and do concentrate and do understand the importance of keeping away from evil, that the righteous people, the truly righteous and the most righteous of the people, and the people with the most taqwa, are those people who keep away from sins. And that is why this topic is so important. And don't be like those people who say, oh, I treat the people well, I am good with them, I am kind with everybody, and they don't fast, and they don't pray, and they don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their excuse is that the religion is all being about good to people and being nice to people. These people are truly deceived by shaitan. No, you should obey Allah, keep away from the sins. This is the righteous path, and this is what we encourage you with, and myself with. And next time, inshallah, brothers and sisters, we will be beginning the topic of shirk, inshallah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.